Welcome to Talk Like a Fan. I'm your host, Estelle Clapham, and joining me today is the amazing Isabel Russo. Hey, Isabel, how are you?
Hi, Estelle. How are you?
Yeah, really, really good. Very excited to speak about the French Grand Prix today.
It was a very exciting race. There's so much overtaking. There was, you know, excitement at the beginning, excitement at the end. It was so nice. I'm in New York and got to watch it with my dad, which was wonderful. It was really great.
Were you teaching him things? Was there commentary? Like, how was it for you?
It was great. There was commentary. We were chatting back and forth about different things. He would ask me some questions. I would ask him some questions. My mom was there, but she was doing other things and, you know, flitting in and flitting out. And every so often she'd come in and ask a question as well. So it was kind of fun. It was weird to be the quote unquote expert in the room because usually I'm like the person that knows the least in the room. And I am not an expert by any means. No, but it was like so... It was a very different experience to have the conversation flip slightly.
Yeah, it sounds exactly like how it is with when I watch with my dad and my mum, as you said, coming in and out and saying, "What are we? You know, what's it up to now? Who's doing well?" And kind of engaged, but not really.
Yeah.
Ah, that's amazing. That's so nice. You got to share that with your dad.
And it was on Father's Day. It was perfect.
Oh, yeah, of course. It wasn't. See, in Australia, it's not Father's Day. So obviously it was in the UK and America yesterday. But that's amazing. What a great day.
Yeah, it was a good way to start the day.
Yeah, because it would have been a lot earlier in America too.
Yes, it was 9 a.m. start.
Yeah, yeah, that's commitment on a Sunday morning. Oh, okay. So into the race. I mean, did your dad, was he supporting anyone? Or was he just going for whoever you were supporting?
I think because of the way our conversations have unfolded in the past year, I think he's always been a Ferrari fan, but I think my McLaren support, he's been sort of following McLaren a little bit more. So yeah, I think we were both sort of rooting for McLaren's. I think he was also very interested in the fight at the front. So what was happening with like Mercedes and Red Bull, all four of the cars moving back and forth, and yeah.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that he's a fan of Ferrari and also is like rubbing off on becoming a McLaren fan, because if you compare the two teams yesterday. It's really funny this season. We'll start at the beginning in a minute, but this season has been so unpredictable. Like at times you think, okay, Ferrari are coming back. They're doing really, really well. And then you have a race like yesterday where I think Charles ended up in like 16th or something. It's like, it just has been so unpredictable. And then like Seb in the Aston Martin, and even though they were still in the points yesterday, they still didn't do as well as I thought they might. You know, there's this constant threat in the middle sector, like in the middle playing field that, I mean, as we are McLaren fans, and I try to be as impartial as possible, but we are McLaren fans. So we're constantly living with this, like, oh, is Ferrari going to do really well? Is Aston Martin going to do really well? The Alpines have been showing lots of promise. Alonso has been doing really well. But yesterday was McLaren's race. Sorry, but it was.
It really was. And it was definitely the best finish for both cars. And I don't want to get into it too much if we're going to start in the beginning, but yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's start from the beginning. So lights out. One of the more interesting beginnings we've had in recent weeks. Lando fell back. Ricciardo went up. He overtook. I mean, it was a great start from Ricciardo. I have to say, it felt reminiscent of his old starts. He's normally quite good at finding the gap and getting up front, which he did. Unfortunately, Lando dropped back, which is not what we wanted to see. But yeah, what did you think?
I thought there was so much movement at the beginning in a way that we haven't seen before. Oftentimes, everyone just sort of falls into line, at least in the past couple of races. And to have Verstappen lock up right at the beginning and Hamilton be able to pass so quickly, even though Verstappen had a good start, like right off the line. And that made it very exciting because it did feel like Verstappen then was just clawing and trying to get his way back to from that 1 second mess up at the very start of the race. And I mean, he did.
This race, more than any race, I think this season, because I saw it across a lot more teams, really like strategy was so important. Strategy was at the forefront of all. I mean, that sounds really stupid because obviously strategy is always into play.
I think the thing that was apparent more for me this week was that every team had a visible strategy to the outside.
Yeah.
And it felt much more like both cars were working as a team. Obviously, they're always competing against each other, but it felt like every team was working as a team to better the team. In a lot of ways, I mean, you saw it with Red Bull, you saw it with Mercedes, whether it went well or not for them. You saw it with McLaren, like you saw it even with Aston Martin because they were on hard tires for the entire time trying to have a slightly different strategy than the other teams, but similar strategies to the two for the two cars.
McLaren took a little bit of different strategy with both of their drivers. They obviously pitted Daniel a bit earlier and then Lando a little bit later, which at the time I was like, how is this going to play out for Lando? Because it's going to push him way back down the pack. But Lando, like Lando does, was such a gun, made up so many places and ended up overtaking Ricciardo. That was a great drive from Lando. And I know we are Lando fans, but like it really was. It was impressive because I thought, oh, this isn't going to work out well for Lando. Like this is going to be a nightmare coming back from this. But he managed to do it.
Yeah, I mean, he was on fresher tires than everybody else because he did wait a bit longer. And yeah, he just went through picking cars off, making his way back up. And this was such an exciting race to watch where the overtakes were happening because they were happening in the chicanes. And like, yeah, there were some on the straights, but it felt like with the two DRS zones, cars could get closer but weren't able to pass. So a lot of the passing happened on the turns, which, yeah, my heart was a little bit in my chest, in my throat. I mean, for like making sure, you know, I'm a little bit worried about all of them every time I watch. But where the overtakes happened, you could really see everybody's skill across the board. And that was exciting to watch. It's exciting to watch people who are at the peak of their career and the peak of their jobs do what they do very well.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people are excited because they feel like they saw, you know, Daniel Ricciardo is kind of back. I mean, it's sad that people have kind of lost hope in him, but, you know, they're saying like now he's back and, you know, he's doing really well, which, I mean, why do we put so much pressure on drivers? I don't know why just because he's gone into a new team, he's had to try and adjust. I don't know why people were kind of writing him off anyway, because I think that's natural. It's natural he took a while to settle into Renault as well. Like, it is just a natural thing to happen. Just because some people can sit, like we've seen Seb go to Aston Martin and he's sat comfortably in that car and done really well and gotten good results out of it, but that's not the case for everyone. So why do we automatically like write them off? It's really bad.
Well, he proved the naysayers wrong yesterday.
Absolutely. I just have to make a quick mention, which was really, I didn't realize, I had to go back and double check the results because I was quite shocked, but George Russell ended up in 12th.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which mm-hmm. I just think, like, we didn't talk about Russell at all in the race. He wasn't really given much, airtime or anything like that. But he ended up, I think, ahead of both Ferraris.
Which is amazing.
Amazing. It's absolutely amazing. I just can't believe that he was so far up the leaderboard. It's just insane. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. Something I had to go back and check today because I was like, did that actually happen or did I get it wrong?
I think because there was so much excitement at the front of the pack that anyone sort of down below past maybe 10 didn't get as much airtime with the race because sometimes the battles are at the back of the pack and they're so exciting to watch because, you know, one car is out front and the leader is just lapping everybody.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the case this race. So unfortunately, it did seem sort of that if you weren't in that Red Bull Mercedes battle or, you know, battle for the midfield, we didn't see a lot of them last yesterday.
Yeah, sorry, he wasn't in front of both of the Ferraris. He was just behind Sainz. but still, it was a really good race from him. And I agree that the battles kind of were happening. The top four, even though it's kind of expected, like Red Bull, Mercedes, it's not, you know, overly surprising for anyone. But it was just like, I mean, Bottas was really upset because Mercedes didn't do a two-stop strategy. What did you think of that?
I thought, even though it is Red Bull and Mercedes and you kind of expect them to be there, it didn't feel like a done deal until like the checkered flag. It felt like everybody had to work for it. I felt like I was watching all four of them work their absolute hardest and drive their absolute hardest to figure out what the order was going to be. It felt like there was a lot of switching. I mean, even right at the last minute. And I think going back to what we were talking about strategy, there was a couple of back and forths with engineers and drivers, with drivers complaining about not being listened to for strategies. And it begs that question of, how much say does a driver have, and how much of this is really a team sport? And it was just interesting to see behind the curtain a little bit when you hear those radio messages.
Yeah, and Mercedes obviously did much better than what they did last week, for instance. But it's still very tight. Those top four cars, I mean, if you look at the gap between fourth and fifth, for example, like the top four cars still have so much speed compared to the rest of the grid. But yeah, I understand his frustration, and obviously he's got a lot more riding on him getting results and doing well because obviously he's out of contract at the end of the season. So I understand why he would be disappointed, because you don't want your risk of losing your seat come at the hands of the team. So I can kind of understand his frustration. And it was hard to watch both when Perez overtook Bottas and then ultimately Verstappen overtaking Hamilton. It was hard to watch because once they were overtaken, it just looked so seamless and so easy. And it really looked like the Mercedes just lost so much speed as soon as they got overtaken. It just looked like there wasn't enough of a battle, which is shocking, if I'm honest. It's really shocking. I think Mercedes must be feeling the pressure, because you're seeing small mistakes happening as well, not just from the drivers, but from the teams. They must be feeling the pressure more this season than any season.
Definitely, definitely. And you do feel a bit badly for Bottas, because it seems as though the world is waiting for him to fail. And it's so unfortunate when you hear something like that, where he's like, I had a better idea than what actually happened and you should have listened to me. But yeah, it did sort of, I don't know if it was, when they had done pit stops, so they just had no grip in tires, but yeah, they definitely seemed, to have very little power once overtaken by a Red Bull in both cars.
Yeah. It was I don't know if it was just exciting for me this race because McLaren were doing so well. So I felt very invested in this race. And every time I saw a McLaren overtake a car, I was like super excited. So I don't know if that like kept me engaged throughout the whole race. We had no yellow flags, no red flags. And I know it was really funny. Some of the commentators on Sky Sports were talking about how some teams were holding back for potential of a safety car coming out. And I just thought, is that the strategy that we use these days? Because safety cars have kind of become the norm, like yellow flags and red flags. And like, is that how people play their strategy these days?
I wonder. And are they more prevalent now than they used to be?
In my opinion, I mean, I'm thinking back to just even the 2019 season. Yeah, that's pre-COVID. The 2019 season, I personally can't recall a single yellow flag.
Wow.
I can't remember a yellow flag. And maybe that's just because I've forgotten. I mean, it's 2 years later, but I definitely know red flags that I know of, and I can't recall a yellow flag. I mean, I'll have to double check that. I'm sure the listeners are like, you idiot. But no, I seriously, to me, the race that was like, that happened yesterday, where there was no one out, everyone finished, to me, that is like a standard race. That's how I remember racing pre-2020.
That's so interesting because, you know, me starting to watch during 2020, we saw it all, red flags, yellow flags, safety cars, everything. And I do remember you saying this is a bit of a strange thing. So to have everybody finish this race, I took note of it. I was like, oh, that's exciting that everyone's finished and it was a clean drive, especially with all of the overtaking and the potential for near misses.
But yeah, even last week when we had the red flag with two laps to go, I mean, that is to me exciting. That's exciting racing. To me, that is like super exciting. So I'm amazed that yesterday was as interesting as it was, given the fact that there were no red or yellow flags. Yeah, I don't know. It was good. It was a really good race. I mean, there were parts obviously where it felt a bit, what's the word I'm looking for?
Slow?
Processional. Felt a little bit processional in parts, but for the most part, it was pretty exciting. Yeah. And I think McLaren are back, baby. I don't want to jinx them, but.
Yeah, knock on wood.
Now, what do you think? I know it's still early, but now, given that we're, what, seven races in and Red Bull are doing remarkably well, do you think they could win the championship? Do you think they will win the championship this year? Do you think Max has the championship?
I mean, if they keep doing what they're doing, why not?
Yeah, they've had three wins in a row.
I mean, you know, I'm bad at predictions here, but
I think how could anyone predict anything? The last two seasons have been so unpredictable. It's good. It's good to have that unpredictability back. It's good to have the challenges. It's exciting.
It is. It really is. And I think that nothing is a done deal at this point. We still have, you know, more than half of a season to go. But it is exciting that it's not a done deal now.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And we don't know how many races there will be at the end of the season because obviously there's constant changes in the calendar and who knows where we'll be come the end of the year. And we still have many, many races, but it's very interesting because I knew that Red Bull were going to be competition this year, but I didn't think this much, if I'm being honest. We haven't seen Red Bull like this for a long time. And I think the addition of Perez, which I was a bit skeptical about in the beginning, because I actually thought it wasn't going to be good for him, if I'm honest, because that second driver's seat of Red Bull isn't always the best. But they've just proven to be amazing. And Verstappen drove so well. Perez drove so well. Like they're really a force to be reckoned with.
They are, and I think the Red Bull has finally found their pair for Max.
I think
they've always been looking for, you know, who will complement Verstappen, and I think they finally found their magic pair.
Yeah, and I think actually even on a personal level, they get along really well. So, I mean, I've never found Max in the last couple of years to be very close to the second driver, or not that he was like, you know, not getting along with the second driver. I just don't think he really gave two thoughts about the second driver, if I'm honest. But it feels like he actually holds Perez in really high regard. So I think on a personal level as well, it is a really good pairing.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it has shown that whatever chemistry is there between them and whatever admiration or whatever exists is sort of the linchpin to that partnership. And Perez is a great driver and he holds his own. And I think he knows he's in a second seat, but doesn't behave that way.
Yeah. You know? One thing I just want to point out, a little bit off the race, but more something that I just really think is important to highlight, because obviously it's not the female drive unless we talk about it. But I just wanted to say it was really nice to see Aston Martin Cognizant team putting on the rainbow flag on their car over the weekend in support of Racing Pride, who, you know, I'm a huge supporter of. I love what they do, and they've partnered up with Aston Martin this Pride Month, which is so important in terms of We Races One and everything going forward. So I just thought that was really, really good to see. I loved it, and I think it's so important, and I want to see more of it, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully they're the first of many.
Yeah, I agree. And what a great partnership. I'm unbelievably happy for Racing Pride, and it was nice of Aston Martin to, well, not even nice, but it was just great that they've stepped up and made a point of it. It's fantastic.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, on that positive note, thank you so much for joining me and taking out the time. I'm so glad you got to watch a race with your dad.
Me too.
Thanks. I look forward to the day that I get to sit down with my dad and watch a race. One day soon.
It'll be soon, hopefully.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for tuning in. We will be back next week with another race review. Bye.